transfigured on the mount, O Christ our God.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Be Transfigured, where we invite you to live a new life in Christ. We pray that this episode is a blessing to you and will inspire you to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. We invite you to join us for worship or study at the St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Tarpon Springs, Florida, where visitors are always welcome. We'll be back in a few moments to share some more information about our ministry.
A few weeks ago, I was having a beautiful conversation with a woman in our community, a woman who grew up here, a woman who has dedicated her entire life to serving other people. I won't tell you who I was speaking with because I don't want to embarrass her. But she was sharing a story with me that I believe will help us understand this morning's gospel a little bit better. She said that when she was a little girl, her and her sister, their mother would always, when it was time for dinner or lunch or any meal, their mother would always take the first dish of some whatever they were eating, and she would bring it to someone who didn't have anything. In those days, of course, for those of you who grew up here many years ago in Tarpon, and we had a lot of especially young men who had come from Greece for the fishing industry, for sponging, and they didn't have anything. They didn't even have their wives or their families. They're here all by themselves. And so from the earliest days of her memory, her mother would always bring the first dish, the first plate of food to someone outside the house. And even if there was nobody outside the house, she would set a place at the table just in case someone came. And she was telling me that her mother taught them, we always worry about other people first, and then we eat. It's no surprise that these two women have dedicated their entire life to serving other people, because that was what their mother instilled in them from the very earliest of age. It's no doubt that that mother and those two women will find themselves in heaven, because they put the needs of others ahead of the needs of themselves. The opposite, my brothers and sisters, is the case of the rich man in this morning's gospel. The polar opposite. The gospel tells us of some random rich man. He doesn't even bother to give him a name. It says here, clothed in purple, in fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. The picture of this man who had everything he could ever possibly want. Purple was for the most wealthy of people, and fine linen. And there was this poor man named Lazarus, laying on his front steps of his house. And it says in the gospel, wanting to be fed just by the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Lazarus would have been satisfied with anything that happened to fall off the table. And it says, moreover, the dogs came and licked his wounds. He was treated better by the dogs than this filthy rich man. Now, fast forward, they both die. And one of the things I love about the way the gospel tells this story, it says, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. This wonderful imagery of the angels coming and escorting this poor man to heaven. And then it said, the rich man also died and was buried. Plain, simple, to the point. He died and he was buried. And this, my brothers and sisters, is a caption of what heaven and hell is going to look like for us. I say for us because we have only one chance, the chance that we have in life to get it right, to find ourselves in heaven instead of hell. But I have to, before I get there, explain why the rich man was in hell. He didn't do anything bad to the poor man. He didn't beat him. He didn't kick him off his front steps. He didn't say, go bother somebody else. He simply ignored him. We can even imagine that he probably had to step over the rich man just to leave his house. And we know he knew his name because the way the story is told, the rich man calls out, he says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to me. The rich man was so consumed with himself that he couldn't even be bothered to reach out and give one piece of bread to Lazarus. He couldn't even be bothered. He had everything he possibly needed, and he left just the crumbs on the floor for him. And worse, he knew his name, meaning that he was not a stranger to the rich man. They must have spoken. They must have had interactions over the years for him to know his name. And yet he let him lay there and ignored him. Even in death, he was consumed with himself. Now, I'm going to suspect that if it had been any different for this man, if this man had even one, no pun intended, but one crumb of decency, at least in death he could have said, oh, look, Lazarus has someone to take care of him. But he didn't even have that. Still, he was so consumed with himself that he says to Father Abraham, send Lazarus to me to dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue. Oh, me, poor me, poor me. And Abraham says, I'm sorry. You had the good things in your life, and now you're suffering. Lazarus had the evil things in his life, and now he's being comforted. And so the fathers of the church tell us that this is what we should expect in the future kingdom. If we go through our entire life focused on ourselves and focused on our own comforts and how we can pamper ourselves, then when we get to where we're going, the kingdom of heaven, then we're going to be suffering. Not because God doesn't want to bless us, but because we'll be so consumed with ourselves that we won't even be able to have joy in the kingdom of heaven. And Lazarus is comforted. And then he says something which is often misunderstood, which we have to learn very specifically. He says, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, a great chasm, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. This is often misunderstood as to be some kind of a physical barrier. It is not a physical barrier. We do not believe in heaven up here for the good people and hell down there for the bad people. All of us are going to be together with God in his kingdom. The chasm that is spoken about here, and St. Gregory tells us this, is that line is death. Once we die, we cannot change sides. We have this life to get it right, and only this life to get it right. If we spend our entire life, my brothers and sisters, self-absorbed, totally consumed with our own comforts, ignoring the needs of others, we will have chosen what side of the line we are going to be on. We will have chosen an eternity of suffering. Because once we die, we cannot repent. And the fathers are very clear with this. We sin in life, we have to repent in life. That line is the day of our death. And so we cannot change our minds, we cannot change our hearts. And this is what it means to go from one side to the other. If we live our entire life having compassion and serving others and bringing others' needs being met more than important than our own, then we will experience the kingdom of heaven as comfort, as Lazarus did. That is why the gospel is being offered to us today. We have now and only now to get our hearts ready to experience the kingdom of heaven as joy. If you don't believe me, the story continues. The rich man says, "Then I beg you, therefore, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, lest they may also come into this same place of torment." And Abraham says, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." We have, my brothers and sisters, we have more than Moses and the prophets. We have the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. We have the fathers of the church, the mothers of the church, our yayas, our papus. We have the saints of the church. All of these wonderful, holy, blessed people have given us the way of life. And Christ says, if they don't believe any of them, they're not going to believe even if someone should come back from the dead. If we want to experience the kingdom of heaven as joy, our chance is now to live a life where the needs of others are greater than our own needs, where we don't ignore the other people in the world, where we don't step over them to be inconvenienced, and worse, that we don't look as if they're here to serve us, as if somehow, because we are maybe more fortunate than they, that somehow that means that they're here for our pleasure and for our comfort. We say that the poor exist for the sake of the rich, not as our servants, but so that we can serve them and we can show our love for them, and so we can prepare our hearts to experience the kingdom of heaven as joy, so we can be comforted instead of tormented. In the memorial service, we have a memorial today. In the memorial service, what do we say? May their memory be eternal. Think of that when you hear this scripture reading. The rich man was unknown to anybody, and he was the one in hell. Lazarus, his name was eternal. His name is eternally remembered by God. And so when we say in the memorial service, may their memory be eternal, we're not speaking of our memory, but God's. That they would have lived a life not as the unknown rich man, but Lazarus, who was comforted and embraced by God in the kingdom of heaven. Our chance is now. We may not live to see tomorrow. Let's not risk what side of the line we're going to end up on. Glory to God for all things.
Be Transfigured is a production of Be Transfigured Ministries in cooperation with the St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Tarpon Springs, Florida. We depend upon your generosity to maintain our ministry. You can make a safe online donation when you visit our website, liveanewlifeinchrist.org.